Over this past week, we came to learn that the biggest secret the Secret Service was holding was, well, how much of a failure they apparently are at their job. Now, while the revelations and fallout were quick, we still wait for the solutions. Here to review the security train wreck is the White House correspondent for the Washington Examiner, Susan Crabtree. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning.
And, of course, WashingtonExaminer.com is the location on the web. You know, I guess a safe observation from this past week, Susan, is apparently Julia Pearson can take a hint. She got out.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was much of a choice for her. You know how these things go behind the scenes. Certainly, first I want to say, before we get started, that I do think that the Secret Service rank and file, they do an amazing job, and they have a much harder job than I can even imagine.
Especially considering the number of threats the current president gets, which, you know, they don't release details, obviously, but the insinuation is it's a record number in these past 8 years.
Right, exactly. And they have a zero tolerance policy for failure and mistakes. So, but that being said, let's get to the heart of the issues that have been presented in a string of, you know, breaches and problems with the agencies. I do think there is, from what my sources tell me, there is a senior leadership problem, that there was a culture of cover-up, and that's a direct quote from one of my sources at the agency, and we're starting to see what exactly this culture involved. I wrote a story this morning about how, according to my sources, the agency covers up when some of its agents lie on behavioral issues or disciplinary actions. There's a guy in Florida, an agent in Florida, who was using an iPad that was recovered as evidence. It was collected as evidence, and he was using it personal use. And this sounds very minor, but it has serious implications because the federal law, the Supreme Court cases have said if you lie, if a law enforcement officer lies, they can no longer testify in court. So basically it renders them useless. So when this agent lied about his laptop use, from what I understand, they covered up for him and they gave him a slap on the wrist, a 5-day suspension, but no documents in his file ever about lying or credibility issues.
During the hearing with now former Secret Service Director Julia Pearson, for lack of a better word, the reason behind this, and one of the reasons behind this, was publicly declared to be funding cuts, which cut through training. Some special agent classes have been reduced to zero on a weekly basis and things along that line. Is that a company line, a CYA mode, or is there some fact to that matter that justifies why a man with a gun can get on the elevator with the President of the United States?
Well, you know, I think there is an investigation into that and whether the funding had anything to do with it. I am hearing that there are problems with training, that there wasn't enough training. I am hearing that complaint. But I'm also hearing that there's a culture of cover-up. So maybe both problems need to be investigated very thoroughly. Now, in the hearing, we saw that the numbers of the training, I'm not talking per week, we're talking per year. Some of the basic training have gone from 8 training sessions a few years ago to 0. So I'm not sure if that covers all the training, but that's what I believe it was Representative Jason Chaffetz from Republican from Utah was talking about in the hearing.
We are talking with Susan Crabtree, White House correspondent for the Washington Examiner, WashingtonExaminer.com on the web, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. And to me, you know, looking at the fence jumper Omar Gonzalez for lack of training claim, it makes a little sense because at one point, I mean, this sounds comical, but the seriousness of it, one of the layers of security involves a dog handler and, I'm assuming, by the way, it was detailed, a single dog. And in this case, as Gonzalez is running through the White House, the dog handler hesitated and neglected to release the dog. Why? He was afraid the dog would bite one of the Secret Service agents.
I haven't heard that, but that is... Well, here's the deal.
At least that was the reason why the dog wasn't released. Well, it might have bitten one of us.
Okay. Well, that seems ridiculous. So obviously, we need to have better dog handler training.
Yes.
As one of the training components. But only a dog could catch that guy once he got in. And it's not a very long sprint from the gate to the front door of the White House. I've never been there, but it is not long. So, and there's talk about whether you need higher gates. This particular gate was installed in 1967, and whether you need to put this prickly cactus on the other side in the inside perimeter, things like that can maintain the historic beauty of the place while not detracting from sort of the tourist enjoyment of it. It is, after all, the people's house, so.
And tours and history and heritage, certainly. I've been speaking with people over the years about Fast and Furious and immigration reform and how there's the morale is historically low with among the rank and file of the Border Patrol. Is there any belief that for any reason, through the way certain people in administration treat Secret Service agents, I think back to, there was always these stories that Rosalynn Carter, when Jimmy Carter was president, used to treat the Secret Service like servants as opposed to security agents. Is there any fear that there's a low morale that causes lapses like this?
Yeah, I think that there is definitely low morale at the agency. And I think, though, it has more to do, well, the lack of training is creating low morale. I will tell you that. Because I've heard that agents are concerned that they're not up to speed on the latest counterterrorism techniques. But the other problem is that the agency operates like a family, and at times that's really a great thing because you support people when they have deaths in the family or problems in their personal life or health issues, and that's a great thing. But as you know, families can be dysfunctional. And they also can be overprotective, play favorites, not operate like a business, basically. So, the Secret Service for so long has seemed impenetrable, and sort of this elite force that is sort of hands off. They've got it. We're not concerned about them. So it's allowed sort of this culture to sort get very entrenched at the agency. And then you had in May a really big warning sign when you saw a story break in the Washington Post that Secret Service agents were moonlighting. They called it Operation Moonlight and were getting involved, taking people, well, this is a disputed part of the story, but taking people off the president's detail, that's what some sources say, and getting them involved in a dispute with a neighbor out in La Plata, Maryland. I mean, that's how absurd that this has gotten. That they spent days, if not weeks, out on a remote site, getting involved in a dispute between an agent's neighbor,
wow.
An agent and a neighbor,
wow.
in a suburb of Maryland.
We're having our time with Susan Crabtree, White House correspondent for the Washington Examiner, WashingtonExaminer.com. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. The whole idea with Julia Pearson coming in was to come in and take over as director. She was from the inside. She was, quote-unquote, knew the mechanics, knew the system, had the associations and working relationships. She was going to be the cure-all, end-all, be-all. Is this have things fallen down so much within the Secret Service that someone from the outside now is mandatory or would be the most legitimate, at least by appearance only, fix to make things look like someone serious about getting things right?
Well, I think that you heard that suggestion from the White House itself. Josh Earnest, the press secretary, on Wednesday said it stood out in the press conference that one of the suggestions is an outside, that they're including, that there's an independent review panel that's being convened by DHS Secretary Jay Johnson. And they are looking for different people to maybe appoint to the job. That's one of their roles that they're going to be playing along with a review and a top-to-bottom review of the agency. But they suggested that it included outside people. But that would be the first time since 1932 that an outside person has run the agency. They always promote from within.
Well, to keep on top of the details of this and the other meaningful things that happen in Washington and around the country and around the world, Washington Examiner is the go-to place to go. She is the White House correspondent for the Washington Examiner, Susan Crabtree. Susan, thanks so much for the stories that you break, the education that your work provides, and help us make an active concern grow within us as voters and as citizens. Thanks for being here this morning.
It was my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.